you would, turn to the Gospel according to John, the 8th chapter. John chapter 8. It is quite remarkable how the Word of God complements itself. God in His wisdom works wondrously, and the message this morning kind of goes right hand in hand with the message tonight. It kind of went right in hand with the messages last Sunday too. It's very interesting how, as we go through Scripture, how one passage is complementing another. You remember in John chapter 8, and I even mentioned it this morning, that some of the Jews believed on Jesus. And those that believed, in verse 30 in chapter 8, it was a shallow belief. In other words, we saw how intense they got. As the chapter went on a little bit, they got a little bit more angry and a little bit more angry and a little bit more angry to the point they were ready to kill Jesus, at least try. They were going to stone him to death. They wanted to get rid of him. You know what? Men love darkness rather than light. Jesus knew their hearts. He knew the shallowness of their faith, a temporal faith. Because He exposes what they truly believed in the passage of Scripture which we're going to read. In verse 31, Jesus did say, "If you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed." He knew they would not continue. And therefore, He said, "If you continue, you are My disciples." We looked at true faith this morning, true belief. How you can know that the faith that you have is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's a saving faith. In John chapter 8 and verse 33, I want you to see where their short-term belief was at. They believed in Jesus, but in verse 33, they answered Jesus and said, "We be Abraham's seed." In other words, their faith was in their lineage. Their faith was in their family heritage. Their faith was in their line that come all the way back to Abraham. We're Abraham's seed. That's who we are. And they held their nose up in the air, I have no doubt. They're not in bondage to anybody. Never been in bondage or slavery to nobody. We belong to Abraham. That's where we came from. Jesus, in confronting them, gives them the paternity test. Y'all have heard of that before, haven't you? He's going to show them who the real father is. The Word of God tells us true spiritual freedom comes through Jesus Christ only. The only way you can truly be free, and free indeed, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. What Jesus exposes in talking to these Jews, and He gets more blunt and a little bit more direct to the point, because He's going toward the heart, and their heart is very hardened. And the harder the heart is, the more pointed you've got to be when you talk to sinners. You remember how we focused upon the heart this morning, and there are many passages of Scripture concerning the heart, and Proverbs 23, it talks about, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life." One's conduct, how they conduct themselves, stems from their heart or their nature. Their nature's been born again. Their conduct will show it. If they have not been born again, you know what? Their conduct will show it. That's why Jesus said, as I mentioned this morning in Matthew chapter 7, and down in verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of My Father, which is in heaven." You see the true nature coming out there. "Many will say to Me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied Your name? In Your name have cast out devils, and in Your name done many wonderful works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. You see, our Lord sees the heart, and that's what matters. In verse 37 of John chapter 8, Jesus agreed with these Jews that Abraham was their father, but he was just agreeing on the terms of a physical descent. He says, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Now, the word of God does teach us, you shall know them by their fruit. But you've got to be careful with that, because only God sees the heart. You can judge somebody by their fruits, but you better be careful how you judge them by their fruits. Because sometimes sinners do good works as far as in the sight of human eyes. And sometimes Christians do bad things, even to the point where they end up in jail. Be careful how you judge. We are to be able to judge them by their fruit, but we must be very careful. These Jews had murder in their hearts. Yet the Word of God says they believed in Jesus. Jesus confronted them about that belief. You know what? When we think about it, you think about, you see the fruit of somebody else, or the lack of fruit, or the rotten fruit. You see the product of other people's lives, but you know what? We need to inspect our own lives first. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Because the Bible tells us the heart is deceitful above all things. And you know what that means? Even we can be deceived by our own heart. So we need to be very careful. We need to examine self more diligently than we examine others. I know some that try to make a living of examining others, and that's not right. These believers were false believers. These believers followed their father, and Jesus is going to tell them who their father is in a second, as we read. But true believers follow their Father which is in heaven. These temporal believers were actually children of the devil. Jesus challenges them spiritually. He questions their spiritual relationship. In verse 37, he says, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. I want you to notice there is a distinguishing mark here. Jesus points out there are two different fathers. There's the Father in heaven. There is the Father who is the devil. You're either of one or the other, and there's no middle ground. You're either of God or you're of the devil. Either the devil's your father or God's your father. There are some people who like to think, neither one of them's my father. Well, you know what that means? The devil's their father. Jesus actually accuses them of having a different father. Because when he says, you do that which you have seen with your father, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Now I want you to look in John chapter 8 and verse 56. In verse 56, I want you to notice a work of Abraham. Your father rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. Abraham rejoiced at the coming of the Messiah, the promise of the Messiah. He saw it by faith. you're of God, you rejoice in the Messiah. You rejoice in Jesus. Jesus is speaking very bluntly and very harshly to them because they're so entrenched in a wrong belief. So because of that, he's given this heavy warning to squash any type of false hope they might have. And let me tell you, their hope that they have, it's a false hope. They think they're of Abraham's seed. But the problem is, they're not doing the works of Abraham. Jesus goes on to say in verse 40, "But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." Abraham received the truth. Abraham believed God. It was imputed unto him for righteousness. These, they've got murder in their heart. They believe they're also spiritual children because in verse 41 they come back at Jesus and they say, "You do the deeds of your father," is what Jesus said. They said, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." In other words, they believe God's their Father. They really genuinely believe that. They said they're not born of fornication. In other words, if you were a pagan back in that day, a Gentile, before Jesus came, if you weren't a Jew, you had all types of pagan beliefs and pagan worship systems, which involved all kinds of junk. Human thinking, human man-made ways of trying to appease God, prostitution, all kinds of junk. Here they're saying, and they're good in saying this, "We have one Father, even God, and there is only one God." But their belief system's messed up. They're trusting in themselves, and they're trusting in their lineage, their heritage. Their father is Abraham. They come from Abraham. We're not like the pagans, the Gentiles. We're not Gentiles. They genuinely believe they're spiritual children. Listen to Paul. Before he was saved, in Philippians chapter 3, I want you to listen to how Paul described himself. In Philippians, the third chapter, down in verse 4, the Apostle Paul said this concerning himself, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." The Apostle Paul said, if anybody could boast in the flesh, I'd be one that could boast in the flesh. How is that? And he goes on to explain it. "I was circumcised on the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrew, and as touching the law, I was a Pharisee." You know what that means? Kind of what I explained this morning. There are 630 commandments. Under them 630 commandments, they got at least 39 written under them in subcategories, which up into thousands and thousands. The Apostle Paul knew them all. He was a smart fellow. And you know what? He kept them, at least in his mind, he kept them all to the T. But it was an outward keeping of the law. It was a physical keeping of the law. Notice what he says. "Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness that's in the law, I was blameless." Nobody blamed me for anything. I was blameless in people's sight. But you know what the Apostle Paul's problem right there was? Was his own heart. Because that's what God looks at. You can look good on the outside, but God sees the inside and He sees the motives and everything behind it. Notice what he says in verse 7, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. In other words, he forsook all of his personal pride and personal gain and Phariseeism and the keeping of the law and the attaining of righteousness of the law. He thought he had it. You know what? He gave it up. All of it up. He counted it all but loss for Christ. That he might be found in him not having his own righteousness, as it says in verse 9, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ and the righteousness which is of God by faith. The Apostle Paul turned his back on all of that. All the work system. And he had faith in Christ. The righteousness of God. You remember what it says over in Romans chapter 2 and verse 29? He is not a Jew which is one outwardly, but he's a Jew which is one inwardly. For the circumcision is of the heart and not of the flesh. Here these Jews had the confidence in the flesh. And that's where they're falling short. So our Lord confronts them in John chapter 8. And after they say, we're not born of fornication. In other words, we didn't serve other gods. We had just one Father, even God. That's our Father. So Jesus confronts them about their statement and he says unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Here's our Lord speaking. If you were of God, you'd love me. Abraham loved the Messiah. If God's your Father, you'd love the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Jesus asked this question, why do you not understand? Why don't you understand what I'm saying to you? Why do you not understand my speech? And he gives the reason why. Because you cannot hear. Jesus is speaking truth to them, but they cannot hear the truth. The natural man does not understand the things of God. What sin does to the natural man, it blocks his ear gates to the truth he cannot hear. It blocks his eye gates that he cannot see by faith spiritual truths. It hardens his heart. That is a sinful heart to where he needs a heart transplant, a new heart. Sin is deceitfully wicked. Here is the reasoning behind their not understanding what Jesus is telling them. Because they can't hear what he's telling them. They hear this truth, but it rubs against them. And here, I want you to notice what Jesus is saying. If you love God, you love me. Now I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul said concerning that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. In 1 Corinthians the 16th chapter. And notice what it says down in verse 22. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 22. If any man love not, and that's the word phileo, a brotherly love. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Now what does that mean? Let him be accursed. If anyone does not love Jesus Christ, he is accursed. There is a curse on him, and that's the sin curse. And that's where the Jews are. They had this curse upon them because they've stumbled over the stumbling block, which is Christ. A child of God desires to hear God. You know what? We rejoice in the Word of God, don't we? When you hear God's Word and you hear the truth of God's Word, it brings joy to the Christian's heart, the child of God's heart. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. We love the Son. We love the truth of God's Word. Here's a mark of a disciple of Christ. What Jesus is confronting them with, notice in verse 44. You are of your father the devil. Whoa! Now, you know, to say that to a Jew, that was really stunning. You say that to somebody in our day and time, it'd stun them too. But especially to a Jew. Here, Jesus confronts them, "You're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he's a liar, and he's the father of it." Now, you know what? Very simply, what Jesus is saying, there's two fathers. You're either of the father in heaven, or you're father of the devil. And your nature will show forth who's your father. I guess more in proper terms, in the modern day terms, who's your daddy? Here, I want you to notice, Jesus said they had murder in their heart, and he said you're of your father the devil, because he was a murderer from the beginning. You're going to do the lust or the desires of your father. And the desires of your father is a murderer from the beginning. He plunged all of mankind into death when he caused Adam to sin, deceiving the woman. "In the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And death passed among all men for all who sinned." So you see, Satan was a murderer from the beginning. So hear what Jesus is saying to these Jews. You got murder in your heart. Now, they don't believe that. But you go to the end of the chapter, they're ready to murder Jesus. I mean, they're proving what he's saying by actually living it out. You might think, and here's a test of your Christianity. Do you have murder in your heart? Everybody would say, "No, not me. No. What?" Let's back up just a little bit, back in Matthew chapter 5. Some of you already know what I'm talking about. But listen to what the Word of God says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21. Matthew 5 and verse 21 says this, "You've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." You got anger in your heart, you're in danger. Watch out. "And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca," you know what that means? You're full of emptiness. Ain't nothing to you. You're foolish. Empty. "Watch out, you shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, you fool, shall be in danger of" what? If you get so angry at somebody, you call somebody a fool, you know what? That's pretty serious according to God's Word. God's saying, you're in danger of hell fire. That's a pretty serious matter. Anger, we don't think of it on this level, but anger is a major sin in God's sight. You got anger problems, you better deal with them. You better make sure you get right with God. Get right with your brother. Get right with God. Same thing Jesus brings out, Satan was a liar. He was a liar from the beginning. He's the father of lies. And if you lie, you know what? You're of your father. Who's the father of lies? Now, do you ever fudge the truth? To twist it, to make it to your advantage just a little bit? You shade the truth just a little bit? "Honey, does this dress look good on me?" Unfair question, Judge. You know, what do you say? Yeah. There are sometimes some people will not give all the truth. They will kind of hold the truth, or they won't speak the truth. We're to speak the truth in love. Here these Jews were angry at the truth. Jesus is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He is truth, and they're angry with truth. And let me show you why they're angry with truth. Notice what it says in verse 37. "I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. that truth had no place in them. They didn't want anything to do with it. The truth confronted their sin and exposed their sin. And it exposed how evil they were. Now, you know what? They got angry at the truth. And there's some people that you can talk to today. They get angry at you if you speak the truth to them. That truth has no place in their life. What Jesus does, He exposes their sin. In verse 45, He says, "Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. I'm speaking to you truth, and you don't believe it." So what is their thoughts? They're getting, you know, when you confront somebody and they're wrong, and you keep pressuring them they're wrong, they're either going to repent or they're going to get mad at you. And they got mad at Jesus. They got mad, kill the messenger. Get rid of the messenger, we don't have to listen to the message. Kill the one speaking the truth, and you don't have to listen to the truth from him no more. Eliminate him. Now, in our day and time, how do we do that? You know, we don't kill the messenger. At least I hope you don't. You know what people do? They pervert the truth. They twist the truth. They change the truth. They will take just one side of the truth, such as in our day and time especially, you'll hear people that say they're Christians but they're homosexual. And they go to church and they're faithful in church. And you even hear of some I've heard that are quote unquote pastors that are homosexual. Because God is love and God would not judge. Or you might hear it this way, God made me this way. And you know what? They're on dangerous ground. They're perverting the very truth of God. Don't get so lopsided with truth that you don't see the whole truth. In our society, we're taught you've got to tolerate certain lifestyles. You've got to tolerate this and that. Baloney. You don't have to. I walked in a store the other day, and this person had purple hair, earrings, fingernail polish, black, I can't even remember what else, makeup, the eyelashes, and it was a guy wearing a dress. And I'm going like, I can't do that. I got to go somewhere else. This person cannot be serious. There's some problems. There's some sin problems within the mind. And yet our society wants to push this on us. Jesus, in confronting the Jews, He says, "Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not." So He comes back at them and He says, "Which one of you convinces me of sin? Who can accuse me of doing anything wrong?" Now they're looking, let me tell you, they're headhunting Him. They're trying to kill Him. They're trying to find something to accuse Him of. They can't find anything. There's nothing there. There was no deceit in His mouth. He was perfect. And they're trying to kill Him. So He asked them, "Tell me where I've sinned. Tell me where I've gone wrong." He says, "If I say the truth, why do you not believe me?" You know what? There is no response here to Jesus' question from the Jews. You know what? There's no fault to be found in Him, so they cannot accuse Him of any type of sin. I want to close with verse 47. Stop right there. Where Jesus says, "He that is of God hears God's words. You therefore hear them not because you're not of God." Wow. Here's total depravity. Man cannot hear God's words. He's unable. That's what this word is literally saying. You cannot hear. He that is of God hears God's word, but they cannot hear. As He said back in verse 43. he that is of God hears God's words. You therefore hear them not because you're not of God. A simple question tonight, can you hear? Can you hear God's words? It's not just me speaking that I'm asking, can you hear me? I know you can hear me. Though some people's hearing is failing as they get older. But what I'm asking, can you hear God speak through His Word? Is God's Word alive to you? Does He speak to you through His Word? Sin blocks the ears. Sometimes you need your ears cleaned. Sin blocks the eyes, hardens the heart. We need a new heart. I guess we come right back to where I look back, there's the paternity test. And who is your daddy? Who's your father? If you hear God's words and God's word speaks to you, you're of God. If you do not hear them, you're not of God. Simple test right there. Now, how do we hear God's Word? One of the points that was brought out to me this morning after the message was the Spirit testifies with our spirit. You know what? If you have the Spirit of God dwelling within you, His Spirit dwells within us. His Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we are of God. And how does He do that? There's Him speaking through His Word. His Word is alive and it's powerful. Can you hear the voice of God through His Word? Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we approach Your throne of grace once again and thank You for this Lord's Day. And we thank You for the opportunity to worship You as a body of believers. And Lord, we praise You for Your Spirit's work in our life and revealing truth to us and giving us ears to hear the truth of Your Word. And Lord, we pray that that truth that's in our heart would mold us and shape us to where we would desire to serve You all the days of our lives. Lord, we ask that You do effectually working with Your Spirit in our hearts that we would reach out unto others. Use us as vessels of honor. Be glorified through this week, through each and every life at New Life Baptist Church. May You be exalted. May others see Christ in us. And we'll be careful to give You the praise for it, for Christ's sake. Amen. You're dismissed.